attitude. We are going to energise the country.
Stop Brexit.
No more Mr. Nice Guy.
Seamus, I'm not sure this is a great idea, is it?
Order!
Hello and welcome to the Debated Podcast. I'm your host, Will. And in this episode, I'm joined by Christopher Johnson, who
Hello.
Is the de facto Liberal Democrat chair for Bangor University. Welcome to the podcast, Christopher. It's great to have you on.
Yeah, it's good to be on.
So to begin with, I'd like to start. Of course, you are the de facto Lib Dem chair for Bangor.
Yeah.
First of all, I'd like to ask, the Lib Dems have been doing very well recently. They have increased to 16 seats as we're recording
yep.
this, with likelihood that they will probably be increasing to more. Do you think that the future for the Liberal Democrats is one that everything is open, all possibilities are there, you know, they will do very well at any coming general election?
Well, I definitely think so. I'm rather into looking at polls, and one of the things I've noticed, actually, if you run poll super projectors, is that the Lib Dems either need to overtake Labour or stay very close behind them, and as long as we do that, then there's really should be no problem.
So do you think that the situation with Labour, where it seems to be sort of like generally on a Remain path, do you think that that's something that can be sustained through a general election period, or do you think that voters will just see the Liberal Democrats as naturally the party of Remain?
Well, Labour has a rather mixed record. I think what Jeremy Corbyn... I'm going to say something controversial here for a Lib Dem. I think Jeremy Corbyn's doing an okay thing by focusing more on talking on being anti-No Deal than being Leave or Remain. However, his record and the record of the Labour Party has shown that they've got a complicated, more or less Leave record. So, yes, I think the Lib Dems will remain... At least nationally, definitely, as the Remain party.
Mm-hmm. Now, the Liberal Democrat leader, Joe Swinson, seems a bit unsure at the moment as to the timing of a general election. When do you think would be the best time to have a general election?
Well, they've just voted down one on the 14th of October. Mm-hmm. I think we need to wait until after 1st of October to make sure we can stop a no-deal Brexit.
Mm-hmm.
And then I definitely think we're gonna have a complete different government by this time next year.
Mm.
Yeah.
What sort of government do you think that will be? I mean, obviously it's a Liberal Democrat. Would expect you hope the Liberal Democrats to be involved in that in some regard. What sort of government would you be expecting?
Well, Jo's made it very clear she's not going into coalition with either Labour or the Conservatives because mm-hmm. of their historic Leave records.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's a 50-50 chance, talking realistically, that the Lib Dems will might become the third party again, or they might remain as the fourth. I was hearing the other day there's a 50-50 chance it might be a hung parliament, 50-50 chance it might be a Conservative majority. So what I'm hoping, the best case scenario would be a hung parliament with maybe Lib Dems third party and Labour marginally ahead of the Conservatives, because in that case there's room for schism, and then the Lib Dems might become government by default. So yeah.
Now, one of the arguments that has been against waiting for a general election, one that the Prime Minister has echoed, is that somehow the other parties are sort of like running away from democracy, or that they're playing chicken to a degree. Do you think that this argument could potentially backfire on him?
Oh, definitely, yes. I mean, we've seen the 21 Tory martyrs, I call them, who were kicked out this week, some of whom, like Ken Clark, weren't going to stand at the next election, but now they will. There's we've seen we've seen people joining the Liberal Democrats like Philip Lee and today Luciana Berger, who are obviously seeing that the Lib Dems are the home for Remain, and yes, and it's crucial to remember that Boris has lost his majority, so really he's just saying what he likes because he can't be held to account for it.
Mm. Now, one of the places where the Liberal Democrats have done particularly well was at the recent Brecon and Radnorshire by-election. Mm-hmm. And Joe Dodds, who was the Liberal Democrat candidate... the Liberal Democrat candidate, who's the leader of the Welsh Liberal Democrats, made her maiden speech yesterday in the House. And one of the issues that she brought up was that under a no deal, Welsh lamb, for example, would be faced with a 40% tariff. Do you think that, even though that Wales voted quite substantially to vote for Leave, that issues like this will convince people in Wales to perhaps change their mind and support Remain more?
Well, I think they're already convinced, really. The county where Bangor is, Gwynedd, that voted overwhelmingly to Remain in the election, and I think now that there were promises as usual made in the referendum which then haven't been followed through on, and I think that's got a lot of especially farmers quite angry. So yes, I think Remain for support for Remain in Wales is definitely on the rise.
How do you tally that with, for example, how the Brexit Party did in the European elections? They did very well in Wales. Do you think that Wales is quite split, or do you think that it's slightly more to Leave and it might be moving back towards Remain?
The issue you've got to realise with the European elections is that the D'Hondt system sort of worked. Well, it's good for proportional, but on the other hand, you to a certain extent need to have parties working with each other, and that didn't happen in the election. You know, the Plaid Cymru had a their European election was more or less along the lines of don't vote Lib. Well, first of all, it was we can get 2 seats in European Parliament. Then it was we're the only party that can get 1 seat in European Parliament, and then on election day itself it was if you don't vote for us we won't get a seat in European Parliament. So you see there were a bit, and in fact that rhetoric was specifically against the Lib Dems, whereas if they hadn't done that, there's a chance the Lib Dems would have been able to get up to the number of votes they needed to get a seat, and then the scene would have been very different on election night.
Mm. Now, speaking of Plaid, what do you think their influence will be in the way that Welsh politics shifts? Do you think that they could be the party that shifts it in more in one direction or the other? Or do you think that they're not quite as relevant at the moment as perhaps they have been in the past?
Plaid's an interesting case. They have support right across Wales, but it tends to be especially focused in the north and west. It's certainly not as widespread, at least under first past the post, as the SNP's is, for example, in Scotland. I think they're worryingly relevant. Actually, Wales is becoming more, I think the word is indie curious, which means it's looking into independence more, especially as a result of Brexit, and therefore Plaid's obviously taking the lead in that. But if Wales leaves the UK, then it's going to have sort of Brexit-style recession pretty much as soon as it leaves. So, you know, it's... I see... I see I think they are overstating their case a little bit.
Now, Plaid also have a great deal of influence in the Welsh Assembly. Now, in the last Welsh Assembly elections, the Liberal Democrats didn't do too well.
No, but we got... The thing is, Labour were 2 seats short, so we're actually in coalition with them because we have one MP and then there's an independent who's also in government. So Kirsty Williams, who's the AM for Brecon and Radnorshire, she's actually the Welsh Education Minister, and that actually was quite funny the other week because Jeremy Corbyn went to Swansea and started complimenting the Welsh Labour government on how well they'd done the education policy, and what he didn't realise is it was a Lib Dem who was Education Minister.
Well, do you think that they can do better at the next set of Assembly elections?
Definitely. I think what we had working against us in 2017 was it was just after we'd had the coalition and support had fallen quite drastically for us in that. I think, especially with the Lib Dem surges that we're seeing, we're going to see an increase of potentially 5 or 6 seats across both constituency and regional votes in the next Assembly elections.
How influential do you think the Welsh Assembly is on the way that Welsh politics in general, Westminster MPs representing Welsh constituencies work? Because the Assembly has had Labour in a majority position pretty much since it was created.
Well, yeah, that's understandable. There's lots of working class areas, especially in the south and on the borders with England in the north. So it's quite understandable that that Labour would be in a dominant position.
But what I was going to say is, do you think that it reflects Welsh politics truly, or do you think that it's a somewhat distorted reflection of?
Well, this is an interesting question, actually, because Labour actually came top, and I'm assuming will come top, if the Westminster seats as well as in the Assembly. So I think it's fair to say that Welsh people, that they quite like Labour. However, there is quite a turn over to parties like Plaid Cymru and the Lib Dems because of Labour's unclear position on Brexit. But at the same time, Welsh Labour has now, and especially the First Minister for Wales, has now declared that Welsh Labour will be an unambiguously Remain party. So I don't know what's going to happen at the next one.
So do you think that with this shift by Welsh Labour, that if Wales becomes more of a, perhaps shifts more to Remain, that this may have an impact on the rest of the United Kingdom as a whole?
No, not necessarily. I think, because the thing you've got to realise is the First Minister's head of the Assembly group, I think the parliamentary group might I think it subscribes to Labour's still unclear policy on Brexit, and but on the other hand, I don't know whether there'll be a shift or not.
Well, of course, as you say, the parliamentary group, Stephen Kinnock's recent amendment to the bill that's going through the Houses of Parliament at the moment, which succeeded by accident, will potentially be bringing back the former Prime Minister Theresa May's deal. Do you think that this reflects that, in at least in terms of the MPs, that there is still a desire to leave, but to leave with a deal of some sort?
Well, I think there are a couple of Labour MPs who want that, and several more Conservative MPs. But yes, I think that Stephen Kinnock obviously wants to bring the withdrawal agreement back, but on the other hand, I think there are plenty of other MPs in Wales of all parties who want to stop Brexit altogether.
So do you think that this will result in some sort of like conflict within the wider Welsh Labour Party?
I don't actually know much about the Welsh Labour Party other than what I read in the news, but so actually I couldn't possibly comment on that one.
Do you think that, given that the Liberal Democrats in Wales and the Liberal Democrats across the country have had a very sort of clear message on Brexit, and similarly, the Brexit Party have had a very clear message on Brexit, that we're seeing the end of a sort of a two-party era of politics and perhaps shifting to more sort of like fractious separatist parties across the country and in Wales?
Well, in Wales, there's always been a thought, well, at least since the Assembly was formed in 97, there's always been a three-party system with Tories, Labour and Plaid Cymru often going for the same seats, and then Lib Dems. We could take three or four in the next election, but definitely looking at the national picture, we're going to go from Tory and Labour to Tory, Labour, Lib Dem, and maybe Brexit Party, although now it seems more unlikely than it did 2 months ago.
Do you think that, obviously, the main reason that has generated such amount of fractious behaviour in the different political parties is because of Brexit? Do you think that once Brexit is resolved, whenever that may be, that the Liberal Democrats will be able to sustain the growth they have seen in this period?
Oh, I think definitely. I think we're now starting to work off the coalition legacy, and the fact that we've seen 2,000 new members this week alone kind of shows you that support's growing. We're definitely going to get back a few seats we might have lost over the last 10, 15 years.
Do you not at all perhaps worry about using the history of the Liberal Democrats in the coalition, given that the coalition is such a divisive government amongst potential swing voters?
Possibly. The coalition included, I think, two Welsh MPs from Lib Dems, more from Conservatives, I think the legacy's starting to work off, because what we have now is we've had enough time, we've now got a generation which is willing to forgive and forget the coalition's mistakes, and a generation that doesn't remember them in the first place. So those generations are growing. So I think we're definitely going to. That's definitely not starting to stop working against us.
Do you think that Brexit has damaged the Conservative Party in Wales?
Yes, I think it has. I was out canvassing in Llandrindod, Wells, on election day in the Brecon and Radnorshire by-election, and and there were some people who would have otherwise voted Labour who were telling me, "Yeah, we're voting Lib Dems because we don't want Brexit." So I think it, and obviously the biggest rival to the Lib Dems was Chris Davies of the Conservative Party. Mm. So I definitely think they're starting to lose support in Wales because of it. On the other hand, they topped the last Wales-wide poll, so I guess it remains to be seen.
Why do you think the local Conservative Association made the decision to reselect him, because it seemed to be one of the most damaging aspects of their potential, their by-election campaign, to have someone who had been thrown out of Parliament to then be their candidate again. What do you think was behind that decision?
Goodness knows, maybe they were trying to go for an incumbency vote thing. I don't know. That actually, that is a good point, because another thing that I didn't notice, but other canvassers in Brecon and Radnorshire noticed, was that people were saying, I'm voting Chris Davies rather than I'm voting Conservative, so maybe there was a bit of incumbency vote which they were trying to work on.
Mm. Do you think that that sort of feeling of support for incumbents might help across the country? Members of Parliament like Anna Sue, Bree, Heidi Allen, others who have left their original party and have gone to other parties?
Maybe. In the cases of Anna Soubry and Heidi Allen, I doubt it, but definitely some of the Conservative MPs who were kicked out earlier this week, they could definitely hold on to their seats. And of course, we've had one from Wales, Gitto Bedd, who was kicked out for voting against the government on Tuesday night.
Do you think that in cases like, for example, Luciana Berger, who has today joined the Liberal Democrats, that this is more a sense of joining a party and then, if she loses her seat in a general election, then being able to go and to stand for another seat rather than hoping to retain Liverpool Walton for the Liberal Democrats?
I think that's more likely to happen with Philip Lee. I think Luciana Berger, I don't know that well, she's just come up on my radar today, but I think it's more likely that she'll be able to keep her seat in Liverpool than Philip Lee will in Bracknell.
Do you think that if there is a hung parliament, as you mentioned earlier, as some people have suggested, do you think that this could be the beginning of the end for the two major parties?
Definitely Conservative. Not sure about Labour. That might have redeemed itself in the public's eyes, but certainly it's going to be nearing the end for the Conservative Party, yeah.
What do you think will succeed the Conservative Party? What do you think it will form into?
I couldn't possibly say at this stage. Some people might go over to the Brexit Party, which is, as I say, gradually losing support. Others might form another right-wing party or join centrist parties like the Lib Dems, but I couldn't possibly say at this stage.
Nick Bowles has suggested that he might form a progressive Conservative Party. Do you think that that would do well across the country? Do you think it would do well in Wales?
New parties don't tend to do well. In Wales, I don't think so. I think the only person who might stand for that and succeed might be Gitto Bedd, who I mentioned earlier. Otherwise, I think it will remain a toss-up between... I think Wales will remain split between Plaid Cymru, Labour and the Lib Dems.
Well, we're reaching the end of the podcast. Thank you very much for joining me, Christopher. I've got one final question that I would like to ask. Now, the last census, there were several people who claimed, as who said as their religion, that they were witches in Wales. Now, if you ever had any magical powers, what do you think you would do with them?
I don't know.
I mean, would you use it to transform the Liberal Democrats into a majority government? I think that would probably...
Yeah, that would be good. Not sure if that's the first thing I'd use it for, but yes.
Well, thank you for joining me on the podcast, Christopher. It's been a delight to have you. Be great to have you back any other time.
Yeah, it would be great to be on at another time as well.
Well, it would be great to have you. If you enjoyed this podcast, don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes, on Spotify. You can follow us at Debated Podcast on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and be sure to listen to the next episode.